Welcome to Make Your Impact, the podcast for ambitious women who want to lead and make their impact on the world. I'm Emma Elder, a confidence coach who is here to inspire, support, and encourage you to say no to a life that makes you feel unfulfilled. We have one opportunity to make our time on earth matter. Life is too short to be stuck in a place of fear, lack, and doubt over our greatness. There is no other person on the planet like you who says it like you or does it like you. And once you learn to leap with your fear and believe you are good enough, anything is possible. All that success, abundance, and the impact that you dream of creating is already yours. So if you are ready to make your impact, let's go. Hi, beautiful. I wanted to title this episode, I went from feeling trapped by imposter syndrome to being that girl who dances on the internet to 90s and 2000s tunes, and I offer myself up for public judgment. Here's how. But I decided that was too long. But that's essentially the synopsis of what you're about to listen to in this week's episode. Sorry, my microphone's deciding to move around all over the place. If you hear that wiggling and jiggling, that's why. So this is going to be a two-part episode. So this episode is obviously part one about imposter syndrome, and next week I'm going to do a follow-up episode. So today we're going to cover like what imposter syndrome actually is, like how you might notice it showing up in your life and the impact that this is having on you. And then I'm also going to share a lot on my own personal story with imposter syndrome and what has allowed me to move through it and show up in the way that I do now with a lot more confidence and self-belief. And then in next week's episodes, I'm going to get into more of the nitty-gritty for how you can overcome your imposter syndrome too, and like more practical action steps with that. So imposter syndrome is a really huge topic, I think, at the moment. And I think it's fair to say, especially so for females. And it's been something that I've seen circling around a lot in terms of articles that I've been noticing cropping up on LinkedIn in the past week. Did I mention that I'm on LinkedIn now? You might have had that in one of my previous episodes. I'm really enjoying it over there. It's actually pretty fun. I'm being really, really welcoming in terms of the community and the engagement and the interaction. So please do come and find my profile over there. Obviously, it's just Emma Elder. And connect with me or follow me. I'm still trying to figure out what the actual difference is with those two things, to be honest. I'm a beginner after all. Maybe I will add the link to my LinkedIn profile in the show notes so you can find me there. Anyway, I was saying, I've been seeing some articles floating around about imposter syndrome, and one cropped up that really took my attention because it was saying that imposter syndrome is really unhelpful to talk about because it essentially just reaffirms the problem and almost like makes it into this thing. And I just thought, what a load of BS, because that's the total opposite of what I think. I think it's so helpful to speak about imposter syndrome because for everyone who experiences this, they need to be able to understand that they're not alone and that many people experience these thoughts. Because once you do understand it, knowledge becomes power and you start to gain more confidence to talk about what you are experiencing. And that means then that you can take action and control and power to actually move past it. And I also read that there was this recent survey commissioned by the National Women's Enterprise Week, and they polled 500 teens and found that even before the age of 18, so before they're even in their working career, many of them perceive barriers for themselves in the workplace. And I mean, it's a well-known fact that like obviously senior positions are still really underrepresented by women in the business world, but 64% of the girls that were polled in the survey saw themselves as being in leadership positions in the future. And so, like, where is the gap? Because surely it can't just be that all of these women and young girls aren't as skilled or as experienced as men when they get to these leadership positions. And so I truly believe that the success I truly believe that success is 90% about your mindset. It's about how worthy you feel and how deserving you feel to actually become and be successful. And so this is why I feel so passionate about supporting the women that I work with to overcome the imposter syndrome, so that we can also be, you know, real kind of like pioneers and generation cycle breakers for all the women that are following us in our footsteps. So what is imposter syndrome? So here are some signs that you might be someone who is experiencing imposter syndrome. Do you hold yourself to exceptionally high and actually impossibly high standards all of the time? Do you find it hard to accept great feedback as honest feedback about you, or do you just brush it off as, you know, something that somebody else said just to try and make you feel good about yourself? Do you notice that you're self-sabotaging your career and your business progress because you actually fear failing? So you might be hearing yourself saying things to yourself like, oh, you know, I'm not really ready to do that yet. I don't really know enough to do that yet. Or, you know, I kind of want to do that in the future, but right now it's just not the right time. Do you avoid sharing your wins and successes or downplaying them because others might find it too much or see it as being obnoxious? Do you have an inner narrative that is constantly finding the negative in all that you do, and you're finding yourself overthinking and worrying about what people think of you all the time? Are you finding yourself wasting time perfecting things and feeling like you need to prove your worth and finding yourself overworking and then burning out? Are you noticing that you're changing your behaviour to fit in around different people? That is a big one and certainly something that I was definitely guilty of in my younger years. Do you feel like you're living in your head constantly because you're overanalyzing everything? You're struggling to stay in the present moment and you're struggling to switch off and actually rest because you're constantly in your head. And finally, do you hold yourself back from saying things that you want to say, or do you hold yourself back from saying yes to good opportunities that come your way because, again, you don't feel deserving, worthy or ready yet, etc.? If you are nodding along to any or all of these things, then you identify with having imposter syndrome, and this means that your overall performance in your career or your business is going to be impacted because you won't be able to be your best when you're experiencing imposter syndrome. It is going to be getting in your way, and it's probably likely that actually often you don't even enjoy your work. Maybe you enjoy the idea of your work and you see the potential to enjoy what you do day to day, whether that's in your career or your business, but the reality is that actually working fills you with anxiety and stress and overwhelm because you're living in this space of imposter syndrome. And so all of this is putting you at risk of overworking because you really feel this drive to prove yourself that you are good enough, to prove to everybody else around you that you are good enough. And this obviously means that you're going to be at risk of burning out. And so what often happens with these types of people that are experiencing this is that they give up on certain things because they don't feel like they are good enough, and so running away from it feels like a way of protecting themselves, actually self-sabotaging themselves. And so you might notice that you're moving from one career to another in, like, your, when you're looking at your CV, or one position to another when you're looking at your CV, or maybe it's even bouncing from one business idea to the next, or one type of client to the next. Well, as I said at the beginning, I really want you to know that you're not alone, and imposter syndrome has been just so real for me throughout my career. And so in effort to really make you feel completely normal again, I am going to share with you my story, because now I have got to a place where I can be in a room with, like, I think there was 59 other business women, and some of those women were probably bringing in like 10 times, maybe even 100 times, I'm not sure, my revenue. And I still felt like I really belonged there. And so it is possible for you to feel like this too. So let's go back. My imposter syndrome story started for sure in my working life. But when I really, really think back in terms of my school years, those years were definitely clouded with low self-esteem and shyness, and I definitely always felt like I never really belonged, and I was always trying to just fit in. So I was a really good girl, like a really good kid. I was a classic good girl, but I wasn't super academic or Or in fact, I wasn't really great at anything. Like, I was just a bit of an average student that kind of blended into the background. I didn't really excel, you know, at sport or art or music or anything really in particular. I was just generally good. And then, as you know, I've mentioned it many times in these podcasts before, I trained to be an occupational therapist. I did that straight from college. But even thinking about getting into my degree course at university, that actually felt at the time like complete luck, because I didn't do at all well at college. Like, I think I was just being too busy having a lot of fun, getting really drunk and dating boys at that time. You know, I was like 16, 17, 18 years old. But after my university interview, what happened was they lowered the UCAS points, and basically I was accepted to be on the course before I even sat my final exams. And now when I look back at that, I think, well, obviously I completely blew their socks off when I did that interview, and they just wanted me regardless of my A-levels. But I definitely felt this huge sense at the time of feeling like, how have I got here? How have I ended up in this space in university? Like, this was so lucky, and like, I shouldn't be here. So probably my first imposter syndrome thought started around then. But then throughout university, and as soon as I was qualified, I was very, very, very aware of my imposter syndrome thoughts. So I qualified at 21 years old, and I was still in my like really young, experimental, getting to understand myself years around that time. And many people, both like my colleagues and patients, often didn't take me seriously, A, because of my age, but also because I looked a lot younger than my age as well at that time. I don't think that's a problem anymore. I said that to somebody recently, like, often people think I'm younger than I am, and she looked at me like, don't think so. So I think perhaps that's changed, which I'm fine with, you know, I'm all for aging gracefully. Anyway, throughout my training, it was really, really drilled into me the importance of adhering to professional standards, and that essentially, as an occupational therapist, I was going to be representing the NHS at all times because I was a registered healthcare professional, whether I was in my uniform or not. And I really became hyper aware of this and the ramifications of essentially getting things wrong, like meaning that I could potentially either end up in court or, worst case scenario, like lose my professional registration, which is kind of ironic to think about now, because that it used to keep me up at night thinking about losing my professional registration, and now I've like happily walked away and started a completely different career entirely. And I think thinking about it again, those like catastrophizing thoughts that I was having about losing my registration, I don't think they were helped, because at the time when I got my very first qualified position as an occupational therapist, there was actually somebody under investigation for like poor conduct, because essentially a patient had got harmed, and it was kind of like up for debate whether it was as a result of her actions or other things anyway. And so I basically lived in total fear and feeling terrified for the rest of my career that this potentially could happen to me. And I didn't believe that I was good enough. I didn't believe that I knew enough. I didn't feel like I was professional enough, because like I said, at the weekends I'd be going out and getting like blind drunk and barely being able to remember my night. And yeah, I'd lose sleep often questioning, you know, what have I done in my working day? Did I forget to write those notes, or did I write enough detail in those notes? If I ended up in court, like, what would happen? And like, always would have this horrible scenario playing out in my mind, catastrophizing that I was going to lose my job and lose my registration. And I had a lot of limiting beliefs that were really holding me back and keeping me stuck in this imposter syndrome at that time. So I thought that being professional enough meant that I had to be like the OT version of me all of the time. But actually the reality was, often I was going to be the complete polar opposite of a professional at the weekends. And because I was behaving in this way, it brought up so much guilt and shame in me as a person that, you know, I just wasn't professional enough, because I in my spare time, I wasn't acting like a professional. Which, by the way, I think is like something that is like really not really spoken about subject, that actually you can be like in you don't have to, if you're wearing the hat of being a professional, you don't have to be a professional at all times. Actually, you can have contradictions and polarities within your personality and the things that you do and the things that make up who you are that are different from being the professional version of you, but that doesn't take away your professionalness and ability to do your job really, really well, in my opinion. And I also thought my other limiting beliefs I had was that I didn't know enough. And I thought that knowing enough meant that I needed to know as much as many of the colleagues that are around me that had years more experience than me. And I just never allowed myself to actually be a beginner. Somebody that didn't know as much as somebody else. And because of that, I wouldn't ever like to say out loud that I didn't know things. I just pretend that I would know things when I didn't. And then I'd have to be like frantically looking it up, like, what was that person talking about? Because I have no idea what they were talking about. Again, it brought up all this shame about not knowing enough. Whereas what I could have done is just gone, hey, what is that? Like, can you show me that? Or like, can you tell me a bit about that? Because I don't understand that. And I would have progressed much faster in terms of my knowledge if I had had the confidence to actually just say out loud, you know, I don't know this. And it really sabotaged my progress in my career. I also thought that being good enough was only a reflection of the feedback that I was getting, you know, from my patients or my managers, or even like a reflection of where I measured up in like the ranks of authority. That's what meant, you know, that was what good enough meant. And at that time, like during my 20s, during when I was in that career as an occupational therapist, I didn't realize that I had the power to give myself validation that I was good enough. And another thing that I think also is important to mention, perhaps because this might be relevant for you, that really kept me stuck in this place of imposter syndrome was that I was always part of a team. And so this meant that whenever any of my patients had success with their rehabilitation, it was always quite easy to dismiss my contributions or downplay my results by saying that, you know, oh no, it wasn't really much to do with me, it was actually because of that physio that did this work with them, or it was just because of the medication that the doctor prescribed them, that's why they got better, it was nothing really to do with me. And I think that's a really interesting concept as well. If you do work in a team, like how are you taking on and owning the bits of your work that are actually your successes and not anyone else's? Anyway, in terms of like what happened to me getting from this place to where I am now, I went on a real personal development journey, which I've mentioned many, many times in this podcast throughout the episodes. I think I read one of my first self-help books. I'm not even sure when that was. I remember it was on a holiday. Actually, that was quite early on. That must have been like 2014 or 15 or something like that. I read this book called Confidence the Secret by Katie Piper. If you don't follow her, definitely do. Like, I think she's such an inspiration. And then it was in 2018 that I finally started really taking care of myself. I started exercising consistently. I lost a bit of weight and I really healed my relationship with my food and my body. I mean, that didn't happen in a year. That took many years. But what happened was, on the other side of losing weight, I realized that, you know, this wasn't what was holding me back from feeling confident. And actually what I needed to do next was really dive into the mindset work. And so I definitely set out at this point to start to get to know and understand myself better. And I think this is where things started to level up and change for me. So I first invested in a couples therapy with my husband, which we did before we got married. And when we did this together, it was incredible. Like, both of us learned so much about ourselves and, of course, one another and like how we communicate with each other. But we did this incredible work on our values, and it really got me to understand a lot more about, you know, on a much deeper level about who I am, like what I love versus what I don't, like what lights me up, what I want in life, what makes me angry and passionate, and all these things. So I did that piece of work, which was incredible. And then I made the bold decision to leave my previous career behind after I had my baby. And obviously setting up a business comes with all of its own different challenges. And it really creates a huge mirror, I think, of your limiting beliefs. And so I invested in one-to-one coaching, which was absolutely incredible at helping me to understand like what is really, really unique about me and what I bring to the table that no one else can. And while I was having coaching, I also worked through a lot of my limiting beliefs around my fear of failure. And I actually just started to finally believe in myself. I started to believe that I was worthy. I was worthy of all the success that I ever wanted. And like I said at the beginning, at the end of last year, I was in a room with 59 women, many of whom are far more successful than me than, you know, on paper. But I just felt at home. I really felt so confident to be myself. I felt really confident to use my voice and to add to conversations. I really felt confident taking up space and getting noticed and being heard. And I still keep in touch with many of these women because I made such real connections with these people because I was just so willing to actually be myself and be vulnerable. And when you are truly yourself, you create incredible, real, true connections with people. And as you know, I really do feel like I have a real deep sense of my personal identity online, like who I am and how I show up. And so now I'm really confident that, you know, I don't have to be this stiff, boring professional that, you know, is like wearing a suit and presenting themselves as perfect and having all of their SHIT together all the time because, well, A, I don't. And B, like, that's just not me. Like, I like being a little bit more fun and playful and experimental with how I show up. And so that's why I love dancing online. I've never had any professional dancing training. I don't believe that I'm like great at dancing, but I love it. I just love what dancing does to me. I love music and what it does to me and the energy that it gives me. And I want to be able to share that with the people that are looking at it and receiving it on the other end of the screen. It's one of the biggest pieces of feedback I always get is about like, oh, I love your energy. I love your energy. And so much has changed for me in terms of my ability to give myself validation that I am good enough. And so I really think that exploring your imposter syndrome story is a good first step for you if you're really serious about overcoming imposter syndrome. So I have some questions for you to reflect and pull together your imposter syndrome today. The questions are, I'll probably add these as well into the show notes. You can get access to them easy. The questions are, what do you remember about belonging versus fitting in growing up? When do you first remember feeling like an imposter? What limiting beliefs do you hold about not feeling good enough in your business or career? And what actions can you take right now to move past imposter syndrome? That final question we are going to answer in far more detail in our next episode. So please do join me next week where we will be going over more detailed actions on what you can do. But I just want to leave you with some final thoughts about what living imposter syndrome really means for you, because even though you are an ambitious, driven and highly value doing your best, like even though you're a woman who's highly, you know, highly driven and really ambitious, you can't be your best if you are experiencing imposter syndrome because it is definitely going to be holding you back and getting in your way. But I know that I can help you to understand exactly why you are feeling like an imposter, really getting to the root of those limiting beliefs that are holding you back. And I know that I can help you compassionately and assertively move past these thoughts so that they're not blocking you anymore. I'm not saying that they're going to completely be eradicated and you're never going to think them again, because I'm not a wizard. You are a human and you're going to have doubt crop up, but you are going to leave your time working with me knowing that you have some like real tangible actionable steps that allows you to deal with those thoughts and move past them and just focused on the action that you want to take next. Like, this is probably one of the biggest pieces of feedback I get from clients after working with me in terms of the things that stay with them after we finish coaching. And it's that their inner narrative completely switches and they're just so much more confident and easily able to identify their limiting beliefs and those faulty thinking habits that are holding them back. They know exactly what works for them to turn it all around. And they just do that kind of so instantly, it just doesn't trip them up anymore. And they're not even, you know, like ruminating over it, about, you know, feeling like a failure for even having these thoughts in the first place. So I help women achieve all of this with my signature program in my 3-month one-to-one mentoring. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while and feeling curious about working together, now is definitely the time to inquire, because in April, I'm going to be raising my prices. So don't let your imposter syndrome right now be telling you that you're not ready yet, that you're not deserving enough of getting coached right now, or that you maybe you need a little bit more time to think about it. You haven't got more time right now if you want to get in on the current price, which is at £2,000. And you are so deserving of feeling as successful as your CV looks. Just imagine what else you could achieve if you had a mindset that actually truly believes that you're really incredible at what you do. So my inbox is always going to be open on both Instagram and LinkedIn now. So if you want to chat some more, I will see you there in my inbox. For now, I'm going to wish you to take care. And I hope you enjoy the second part of this episode, which is coming out next week. Take care.